join me in a spirit of prayer.
I think so.
Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, today's Mother's Day, which you all knew, it's also the sixth Sunday of Easter, and we're 2 weeks away from Pentecost. Now what does all of this mean? Well, before we talk about that, I want you to place yourself 2,000 years ago, back in the shoes or sandals of the early church. And imagine you were part of that group of disciples, or people who knew the disciples. You knew Jesus had been executed. You know about the resurrection. And you wonder what's next. Or maybe you talk to Thomas, who was able to stick his hands into Jesus and touch his wounds. But you wanted to know what was next. You knew Jesus was supposed to be resurrected, and you were waiting. Well, in the church, we're waiting for Pentecost, which will happen in 2 weeks. And that will be the birthday of the church. And I'm going to allude to some Pentecost themes during my message today, because in the church, we don't need to be restricted to particular liturgical days to talk about particular things. The Holy Spirit is here with us. Now, you're all good mainline church people, and I suspect most of you would be comfortable talking to me about God and Jesus, and God and Jesus, and once we got the Holy Spirit, you would be a little less comfortable. What's this Holy Ghost? Can you imagine what it looks like? No. We know we cannot imagine what God looks like. It's right there in the Hebrew Bible. Right there in the top 10 commandments. We're not supposed to make idols. We're not supposed to try to represent God. And yes, we can talk about Jesus, and we can try to imagine what Jesus looked like. And I suspect that most of us have had our imaginations about Jesus shaped through images we've seen. We don't know what Jesus looked like. There is no historical record of what Jesus looked like. The Holy Spirit is even harder for us to imagine. But it is here. We don't have to wait 2 weeks for Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is here with us today. And that's what Jesus promises in today's lesson. But Jesus uses some really powerful language when he tells us that we will not be orphans. And that's the translation in the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. We will not be orphaned. N.T. Wright translates that phrase from the Greek as, you will not be left bereft. Being orphaned, being bereft, are really powerful, hard things to experience. Now, this isn't going to be a sermon where I offer some huge confession to you about pain I'm experiencing. But who here has lost both of their parents? So there are a few of us. And losing one parent is bad enough. Losing two is a whole other kettle of fish. Now, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about these things, because I'm supposed to live in the here and now. But when days like Mother's Day come around, I can't help but think of my mom. And in the last years of her life, she wasn't able to communicate the way she was throughout most of her life. And I still remember thinking, as I'm walking home from church, or I see something in the news, I'd love to talk with mom about it. There's no one for me to call. There's no one to send a text message to. And my mother never did text, so that wouldn't have worked anyway. But I have memories of talking to my mother, and I have memories about our sharing some experiences together. And this is going to sound a little geeky, but I was living with my mother after I graduated from graduate school, Star Trek The Next Generation came on. And for any of you a Star Trek fan, you know, it was this really good episode. And it got off to a good, strong start, and then the phone rang. And my mother took the call from her sister-in-law. And Florence didn't call that often. But when she called to talk. And the conversation went on and on and on. And my mother came out just before the final credits of the episode ran. And this is a two-part episode. But I still remember that. And my mother asked me, how was the show? And I felt bad, but I had to tell her the truth. I said, it's probably the best episode they ever had. And she got to see when it was in reruns. But I'll never have an experience like that with her again. Now think about what the loss of Jesus is like. Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus was preparing the disciples. And the story takes place towards the end of his life. And he tells his followers, you will not be orphaned. We will not be orphaned. Jesus Christ is with us. And I'm not just saying that because that's my job. It is the truth. Jesus is here with us. God is here with us. God loves all of us. And that's a fact. Now, there may be times when we don't feel the presence of God. I've had moments like that in my life, and I remember many years ago when I had one particular dark night of the soul. And I prayed. And I wondered where God had gone and why he wasn't there. And then God came back. But as I thought about that over the years, I realized it wasn't so much that God had gone away, it was that I had pushed God away. We all have the ability to shut God out. We have the ability to build walls. And when we build them between ourselves and God, we also slowly but surely build them between ourselves and other people. And we may think that we're protecting ourselves, we're shutting out the potential pain we may feel. But think about the people you love and care about. Think about that. Do you really want to push them away? Do you really want to shut them out? The answer should be no. I look at this church and I think about everybody who contributes so much of their time and effort to this community. And I think about the people older and younger who were here yesterday for the cleanup day. And I thank you all for being here. But that is when we feel the Spirit. That's when the Spirit is here. It's with us when we're gathered together as a body of Christ. And we don't have to confess anything. We don't have to profess any formula of belief. Jesus tells us what we need to do right here in the gospel. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. That's the Paraclete. And the Paraclete is another name for the Holy Spirit. To be with you forever. Now, you may wonder, why do we need an advocate? There isn't a divine court that we're going to be called into at some point in the future. God is not assembling a rap sheet of all of our transgressions. And classical Christian theology tells us that Jesus came here to absolve us of our sins. But that doesn't mean we're not responsible. We still need to fess up to what we've done wrong. We still need to repent. We still need to open our hearts and let the love of God enter in. So this is pretty simple. If we want to honor Jesus, we need to love one another. That's simple. I hear some great music coming from downstairs. And frankly, that's love. And And you've heard preachers say, I hope at some point in life, that God is love. It's right there in Scripture. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, I believe, it says, God is love. Now you may wonder why I called today's sermon Not Home Alone. I'm not some Macaulay Culkin fan. And frankly, I've never seen those movies. But I'm aware of the premise that Macaulay Culkin plays a kid who is left behind when his parents go to Europe. He was punished by having to sleep in the attic. I learned that on the internet. And he has to then foil the robbery of his house. And it's done in all sorts of comic ways. But I like the phrase, home alone, not home alone. We are not home alone. We are never home alone. God is always with us. God's downstairs. I love listening to the music, the kids are doing. But that is love. And I'm going to impose on Eva, I'm going to use Upper Valley Habitat as another example of that love. That's love in action. That's the kind of thing the church needs to support. And I'm grateful to all of you for supporting that year in and year out. And Ron and Wendell and Barb and I went down to El Salvador a few years ago and helped build a house. That was love in action. So think about that. I'm sorry, I was really distracted by the kids. But love is something that's tangible. Love is something that is accessible. We just have to let it into our hearts. And yes, maybe that means making ourselves vulnerable. Maybe it means risking loss and hurt. But cliche time, the best things in life often involve risk. God risks everything on us. God isn't some statue living in a sanctuary somewhere. God isn't some being that lives off in the cosmos who is waiting for us to bring him offerings. God doesn't need any of that stuff. But frankly, if God isn't capable of making the whole universe and everything in it, God doesn't need us. But God wants us. God loves us. And God would like us to share that love with our fellow humans. So let's give thanks to God for loving us, and for coming to us in Jesus and the prophets, and for being with us today in the form of the Holy Spirit. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the music of children. We thank you for the joy in their lives. We thank you for the joy we experience in our lives and hopefully share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.